pretend we don't exist. Let's pretend we're in Antarctica.
I'm Gina Kaufman, and you're listening to KCUR's Central Standard. Today is a special winter solstice edition of this show. Next up, an exhibit at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art, where Finnish painters turn low wintry light into magical visions on canvas. The exhibit is called Dark Days, Bright Nights, and here to talk about it is the Kemper's own Barbara O'Brien. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Gina. I'm happy to be here on this next to the shortest day of the year.
What initially intrigued you about contemporary paintings coming out of Finland? I feel like you hint at it in the name of the exhibit, Dark Days, Bright Nights.
I was interested in looking at a group of painters who, from a small country, created paintings that dealt with the natural world, and the natural world being light, place, people, stories.
I want to start by helping our listeners see some of the paintings in this exhibit in their minds, to the best of their ability, in case they haven't been already, and then we'll get into the story of the exhibition itself and the artists who created these works. For now, let's bring to life what some people are calling, for shorthand, the snow globe paintings. How would you describe them?
Anna Tiwari is a painter who, with her diminutive size, uses the sweep of her arms to create passages of paint in very vivid, deep tones, jewel tones, around
like pinks and burgundies,
mauves, and even tending toward blacks, very deep tones, around circular arenas of activity that look like a snow globe, a massive snow globe that we could walk into, a wintry world with a small bird on a frozen branch, a diminutive woman riding a 19th century bicycle up a snowy hill, pedestrian passages with warning cones in a sort of vivid neon orange around frozen fountains and frozen ponds.
Yeah, these canvases are huge, and that jewel color, I like that description of the colors in the background. Those are very smooth. And then that middle area where a scene emerges, it's got, as you were saying, a few recognizable objects, like maybe a tree or an animal or a girl on a bike, but also lots of visible paint drips and gestures on this part of the canvas, looking almost like that shape that your hand leaves behind when your windshield fogs up and you wipe the condensation away. It's really like looking through darkness or fog and catching an illuminated part of a scene without being able to make out the entire picture. Does that capture something about not just the place of Finland, but this season that we're in?
I think absolutely. The way that our breath freezes in the air, the way that we can actually see our breath in the winter, the way that we perceive snow, which is very different from how the Finns think about snow.
How is it different?
We think about snow as a burden that one must shovel away and find places for. In Finland, when the days get very, very dark, they're looking for a way to enhance the quality and the quantity of light. So the Finns actually look forward to the first snowfalls because it increases the quantity and quality of light in their world. It lets them see things in an illuminated nighttime arena.
What do you know about the artist, Anna Tiwari, who you were just describing, and where the place where she lives and how she works?
She lives in Helsinki, and the idea of city is very different in Finland as well, because Helsinki, being the capital of Finland, though not the original capital was Turku, about 2 hours away, but Helsinki is a forested city, and the relationship to nature is a very active relationship, much more so than if we live in a city, we think of concrete and tall buildings. In Finland, it's lower profile buildings and forested areas throughout the city.
Sounds so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And Anna, who thought of herself as a city girl when she moved to Paris for a period of time, realized that she wasn't what we think of as a city girl. She missed the woods. She missed the lakes. She missed the saunas and the cottages that all Finns go to in the summer, which are the days, the longest days of light.
How have people responded to these paintings at the Kemper? I mean, they are so striking. The second you walk into the gallery, at least for me, they just, your eye zooms in on these.
Thank you. There are 13 artists who represent a range of painting styles. And I think people find something to have a conversation about, a work that they're drawn to, but also works that maybe confuse them, which is also a marvelous relationship to have with a work of art, to find your center of understanding with imagery that you may not be familiar with ideas that may be new to you, but also with just a question of beauty and gesture. Each of these artists are painters, and so they each have a different quality of gesture. As you mentioned, Anna Tuari's are wide and sweeping, as if we're wiping frost off of a windshield. But other artists have more quietly articulated gestures, like Marika Makala, who represents a history of women's work, and her large paintings look like embroidered bits of light.
Embroidered bits of light. I think I know which ones you're talking about. They're sort of collage-like.
Her works are large carved pieces of wood that have shield-like forms with embroidered surfaces, although every stitch is glitter embedded into the paint that she uses. So she's counterpointing men's traditions of carved wood with women's traditions of embroidery in these large-scale paintings.
To me, I mean, it might be because of the ideas that I was bringing into the show about this cold place and these dark nights, or these dark days, but that they kind of seemed sort of icicle-y. There wasn't a lot of contrast in some of them, and they were very sort of like white and shimmery.
That's very observant of you. I think the palette is a close palette, we might say. They aren't tones or shades that seem at odds with one another that create a sharp contrast. As a reference point, we might look at the work of Nana Susi, whose medium-scale paintings, and that would be about 4 foot square, reference a single iconic image from the Finnish vocabulary. One would be a cottage, another would be a cloud, and the third is a standing figure of a woman. Her palette is filled with light, and as you move from one side of the gallery to the other, you feel the surface of the painting shimmering like water. When I asked her about the palette of her paintings, she said they are the palette of Finland, the palette of frozen air. And I think about frozen air at this time of year. Frozen air means that it's filled with moisture, it's filled with light, but it takes a solid form. So I think Nana Susi in particular, with her painting Cottage, which is on the entrance wall of the exhibition, has a small cottage, a lake, and a ladder from which one would climb from the water to the earth. And it's very evocative of the life of a Finn.
There's a painting that I want to talk to you about. It's got kind of what to me looks like a vaguely abstract city scene it's accented with neon shades of pink and blue. Not usually what I would call my favorite colors, but very enticing in this case. It looks like the outline of a cluster of fairy tale castles with turrets and stuff against a cool pale sky. And in the very foreground of the painting is a small human form, just like one person all alone whose back is to us. And he's wearing what looks like a little black snowsuit. When I look at this painting, I feel like I'm like this guy coming upon this scene that this character is coming upon. And the sky colors, they're like icy blue and pale pink. There's something about this that does capture the weirdness of the winter sky. And it makes me realize that what seems colorless actually has a lot of color in it.
Yes, when we look at the snow, our eyes start adjusting and we might see shades of blue or green or reflect the world reflected. That painting is called Fifth Generation, and it's by an artist from Lapland. Lapland is the northernmost part of Finland and is a very ancient people. It's called Fifth Generation because the small figure in the foreground is the son of Serpa Sarkajärvi. She is the Laplander artist, and her son is the fifth generation from her family to live on the land in Lapland. Those sort of confectionery towers of snow that make us feel like we're in a place of fantasy and reality both is something that's in many of the works, including Anna Tuari's, where we see something that we recognize, but we also are in a place of fantasy. And that space between waking and sleeping is also a place between light and dark. And the space between waking and sleeping, light and dark, sun and moon, is in many of the works on view. There are three paintings by Sirpa Sarkajärvi, and each represent the intensely lived experience of nature that the Laplander people have. They spend extraordinary amounts of time in the natural world.
When I think of a lot of the paintings we've talked about so far, I think not only about the startling use of color and light that we've talked about, but also quiet. I mean, I can feel a silence and aloneness in these paintings.
It was incredible to travel in Finland and to get to know not only the 13 artists who are in the exhibition well and in the exhibition catalog. I write a short essay for each artist about the experience of getting to know them and being in their studio, but to get to understand somewhat the nature of the Finnish people. They do not do what Americans would call chat. They do not say unimportant things. They are not afraid of silence or sitting for an hour over a cup of coffee. In fact, I might say about coffee two things. They drink more coffee than almost any other country on the planet per capita. And there is no such thing as a takeout cup of coffee. They respect their coffee very, very much. You sit with your coffee. So the question of silence is something that I learned while traveling in Finland and getting to know the Finnish people.
Barbara O'Brien, hold that thought. When KCUR's Central Standard returns, we'll hear more about Barbara's trips to Finland, where painters work in extremes of light, the low, low light of northern winters and the bright, constant light of white summers in the summer. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. And we're back. I'm Gina Kaufman, and this is KCUR's Central Standard. This morning, I've been chatting with Barbara O'Brien, the executive director of the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art. She's curated the Kemper's current exhibit titled Dark Days, Bright Nights, Contemporary Paintings from Finland. Hi again, Barbara.
Hey, Gina.
We were just talking about the role of quiet in these Finnish paintings that you can see, and, you know, I would say you can see that sense of quiet not just in the landscapes that we've talked about, but also in portraits and in the few sculptures that are there.
Jarmo Makala is one of the great painters of Finland. He is one of the two artists who I've bookended the exhibition with. I wanted to create a portrait of a society with artists who grew up in the shadow of World War II, up through artists who have solidly come of age in the 21st century. And Jarmo Makala's small sculptures of boys who look essentially alike, they're about 40 inches tall, and they're
very serious expressions.
Very serious expressions, and they're all of unglazed ceramic, are related to the paintings that are on view that tell the story of his boyhood in an ancient village along the west coast of Finland, and his growing up essentially as a wild boy in the woods, and the story of the difference between boys and girls in Finland. I might say that I was quite taken with the Finnish egalitarian nature, where the lives of women artists are very dissimilar from the lives of male artists, and that surprised me because in the United States that is not my experience.
How are they so dissimilar?
In the United States, it seems like women have more of a challenge to, quote, do it all, whereas the opportunity to do it all is more clearly outlined from birth in Finland than it is in the United States. And the sense of an egalitarian culture absolutely permeates the society, and an equality between men and women and the rights of children and the desire to well educate and to have an almost 100% literate society is within their reach now.
These sculptures that you were just describing, these boys who look pretty much the same as one another, they're about knee high and very sort of you could say like creepily staring at you because they're so serious looking. And that's not how at least Americans are used to thinking of portrayals of children. How does that get at this post-World War II experience that you were describing?
I think the question of unity is very important to Jarmo Makela. I won't speak for all Finns, but he was raised in the shadow of Russian domination. And his concern about the autonomy of Finland, which still has Swedish as a national language, Finnish and Swedish, is very present in his work. There's one painting called Europa, Europa that shows small boys and one very large boy in a surrealist gesture playing in what was a KGB bunker. And that was actually one of the places of his youth were former KGB bunkers that had been sited in Finland. So the question of autonomy and being an independent country, Finland just last week or so celebrated its 98th anniversary as an independent country. So the question of independence is still much more on their minds than it is for Americans.
There are some landscapes that are filled with birch trees and people whose clothing is kind of accented in yellow. And it feels again in those like pops of brightness are standing out against something more gray, that there's something that pops in all of these paintings against some other kind of background. And I'm wondering if the experience of low light is partly an experience of contrast.
That is so fascinating to think about. Let's think about this, that Lapland is the country of the reindeer and the felted clothing and snowshoes and dramatically interesting patterns. Yes, I think it stands out in a world of snow and gray when it's not snowing. That's interesting. And natural elements stand out brightly and vividly. There's a work called Canary in the exhibition by Vesa-Pekka Ranikko, and it really represents for me the future of painting. It is a painting entirely constructed of light and mountain climbing ropes, so that the mountain climbing ropes create the shadow of a cage around two overlapping images of translucent canary forms in very vivid, speaking of jewel tones, yellows, rubies, ambers, and deep purples. So that question of nature being a counterpoint to the quietness of the world is very much in the works of art and in the paintings.
How do things created in those summer times when you have white nights, mm-hmm. how do they differ visually, or do they? Can you tell the difference? There was one that I felt pretty sure came from the summertime, though I could be wrong. It's called Burning Bush, and it's just entirely red, yellow, black against a white background, nothing muted.
That is quite a vivid large-scale painting. There are two paintings by Heikki Marela that are based on the Lutheran tradition of the Finnish people. And both the Burning Bush, which is Moses taking the tablets from God, and then there's Jacob wrestling with God. They're both Old Testament stories that relate to the question of how the Finnish people, like many countries, are turning toward secularism and how one keeps the religious traditions alive within a country that is more a secular society. The question of the summer is interesting. The Finns take off essentially July and August and go to small cottages in the country where they have a sauna, a very, very modest home, and a lake. And those times are reflective times, and I think engender their art with a sort of quiet passion where they do have time to stop and think about their life. I told my staff, because this show opened in October and it runs through February 21st, I told them don't expect to get any work done with the Finns in July and August because they won't be available. They're in their cottages. They're reflecting on their life. They're spending time purifying.
Different. I mean, in our culture, I think that we tend, even though summer is a popular time for vacationing for people who can do that, winter is, I think, what we think of more as a contemplative time. And summer is so active here.
I think that is an interesting dynamic. And my my perception is that winter is a more social time for the Finns, where they get together with their friends, where summer is the time when they go to the cottage that may have been in their family for 6 or 7 generations.
What time of year did you go?
I went both times. I've had the chance to go there twice. And I went in October, which is sort of betwixt and between seasons, where it was cold enough on days that I would wrap up and then warm enough other days that I would be in shirt sleeves.
What do you think you might have learned about human nature from spending time in Finland, this place of extremes, with Finnish artists whose visions are really colored by those extremes?
What a lovely question. I think I didn't take for granted some of the qualities that I admire in Americans, and I learned to question a hierarchy of behavior, that quiet doesn't necessarily mean that we're at a remove socially or disinterested, that time alone can be something seen in a very positive way, and that engagement with art can be extremely well integrated into a daily life that includes family and faith and education and civic responsibility. And it was quite profound for me. The final thing is that travel to many other countries, when you're in Finland, where you're located abutting many other European Union countries, is very easy, but the reference points can be very diverse. So bringing diverse reference points back, but expressing your Finnish nature in the paintings was very interesting to me.
Are you a summer person or a winter person, would you say?
I'm an autumn person. But if I had to pick, I would pick summer by the water.
And would you say that you're a day person or a night person?
I'm an in-between waking and sleeping. Maybe that's why this show was so marvelous for me. I hadn't thought about it expressing who I was in that way. I thought about it expressing two things about the Kemper Museum, which I was so happy to have present in this show. One is that we are a bridge between the 20th and 21st century in our collection, and I wanted the exhibition to be that as well. And secondly, I wanted to really look at how contemporary painters are looking at the gesture, because at the Kemper we have such strong holdings in paintings, and I really wanted to think about that when I was creating this exhibition over the past 4 years.
This idea of being between waking and sleeping and sort of the twilight, like between day and night. Is there one piece in the exhibit that you can point to that's like, this is that fantasy world, that sleepwalking, low light world?
It is the artist that the show began with, and that would be Anna Tuari's, as you call them, snow globe paintings. And I hope that people will come experience them in person.
Barbara O'Brien, Executive Director of the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art and Curator of Dark Days, Bright Nights. Thanks so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure, Gina.
You can see Dark Days, Bright Nights at the Kemper through February 21st. In the interest of disclosure, my mother-in-law was passionate about her work as a volunteer docent at the Kemper, and the docent program is currently being sponsored in her memory. To listen back to this morning's conversations from polar bears to Finnish art, go to kcur.org/centralstandard later today. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. Tomorrow, amid TIFF controversies, how the Crossroads became the destination neighborhood it is today. We'll get that story and take it all the way back to the 1980s. Don't miss it. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date next.